Frank Sinatra and Rosemary Clooney for three new lines of Fords.
There's a big, wide, wonderful world of new Fords.
Newly proportioned for you, Fords.
A beautiful, wonderful new world of Fords.
First, the new Ford line.
Live a wondrous new life in the Fords of a lifetime. The finest new Fords of a lifetime. The beautiful, wonderful new 60 Fords. The new size Ford, the Falcon.
Falcon, the new size Ford Falcon. You'll find that the new size Ford Falcon's the easiest car in the wide world to own.
And the Thunderbird.
Thunderbird, finest of fine cars, the last word. In wish it were mine, cars, the dream car of the wonderful new world of Ford.
See them at your Ford dealer now.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, 720 WGN in Chicago. Nocturnal Journal, that's a name I think Frank would have dug. You know, he liked the nighttime. And we're here with, in the studio, Peter Oprisco and Jack D'Amico, two of my very favorite. I'm going to call you Sinatra stylists.
Okay.
Is that good? And they're going to be accompanied by Dave Holloway on piano. And on the phone, we have my good friend Bill Zamy, who wrote the Bible about Sinatra, Frank Sinatra and the Lost Art of Living, The Way You Wear Your Hat. Bill and I once partied together at Jilly's in New York a very long time ago. How you doing, Bill?
That's right. We partied together in Jilly's in New York. Isn't that something? And who can say that in our generation? Nobody.
And Steve Van Zandt was at that party, I seem to remember. That was a good night. That was a fun night.
I just remember spending a lot of time with Ginger Grant from Gilligan's Island in the corner. And it was a big night for us. Hey, by the way, Frank would love the name of your show, Nocturnally Mission. It's a tremendous idea. It's high time WGN came in. So anyhow, no, this is exciting, pal. Happy anniversary, more importantly than anything.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. You know, you'll be happy to know that I found your book in my library, but it took me like a couple days. I'm not a rat pack, but I'm a pack rat. And
well,
I was looking for it. I couldn't find it, so I went out and bought a paperback version. So now I have two copies of The Way You Wear Your Hat.
God, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Well, you know, we should have a centennial edition out right now, but for some reason that didn't happen. But, you know, it's a whole year. He hasn't even turned 100 yet. That happens a week from tonight.
December 12th, his 100th birthday. You know, I was just doing some quick math before you. This book came out. Did it come out the year he died?
It came out just before he died, long enough for him, in fact, to have been, familiar enough with it. His daughter, apparently brought it over and showed it to him. And he got a – yeah, I was told he was touched by it. Of course, he was at a point – in his life, you know, the last year of his life was not exactly a triumphant one, but at least he was still with us, you know. But he was ailing, God knows, during that period. But it was the kind of thing where, you know, at the end of his career, when he was touring, he would choke up every night when the audience would give him these endless standing ovations. He turned into a pussycat. Actually,
yeah,
that's not our swagger and Frank. Actually, Frank is swank even now, and ever more so. But you've got some fabulous stylists in the room, I understand.
Well, yeah, and for each of you, Peter and Jack, I mean, can you talk about what how he influenced you and what you do in terms of that swagger, and then also vocally his emotional vulnerability? Can you talk about what you draw in each of your acts?
Yeah,
this is Jack.
Okay. Yes, I'm more into the way his emotional storytelling was. You know, it was like someone actually acting out a story instead of just singing a song.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I try to infuse when I'm singing the songs also.
You know, one of the things that always influenced me about Sinatra, or by Sinatra, was the fact that he had marvelous diction, and he had impeccable taste when it came to picking material that was well suited for him, not only in terms of his ability as an artist, but also emotionally as well. And, of course, you know, occasionally he strayed to try to keep up with the times. I mean, I don't think anybody would consider his recording of Don't Sleep in the Subway to be a classic. But more often than not, he hit the bullseye, and that was something that really influenced me as a vocalist. And I apologize for my froggy throat, but I do about 300 engagements a year. Jack does quite a few engagements a year. So this music is alive and well, despite what the music industry might tell you, you know. So and the thing about Bill Zamy, Bill, this is Peter Oprisco. I don't know if you remember meeting me. We met a couple of times many years ago, and
you
got a terrific book, and I love that book. And of course, the thing that distinguishes it from many, many other Sinatra books is the fact that I believe you had the honor of getting really the last interview with Sinatra while he was still alive. I think it was done by fax machine or something.
That's correct. He was, but I did spend some time in his midst, but which was even that was impressive. I will say that. But he didn't fully understand what I was doing at the time. But
that's the best way when that happens.
Well, you know, it worked out for Gates Elise, who wrote, you know, arguably the best profile ever written. I think he just got another award last week for the famous piece from 1965, Esquire, Frank Sinatra Has a Cold. Actually, 66, I believe. That came out.
Yeah. Each of you, all three of us here, what do you have a favorite period? I mean, do you have a Nelson Riddle period or a Rat Pack period? All three of you guys, what's your favorite Sinatra era?
Mine is Nelson Riddle. Yes.
It is Nelson Riddle.
The strong backbeat on all the songs. So you know it's a Sinatra song before the first word is sung because you can hear that strong backbeat.
Yeah. Peter?
You know, for me, I don't know that I have I don't know that I have a favorite period. There are certain segments from each period, and one thing that I get asked about all the time, and I'm sure you do as well, Jack, is, you know, what's your favorite song? Well, you know, my top 10 Sinatra list probably does not include any of his hits. I'll give you a perfect example. I love Sinatra's 1958 recording of Ebb Tide. He absolutely crushes it. It's terrific.
That's beautiful. You
know,
I love that song.
From the Only the Lonely album. You know, and even in his later period, for example, his 1973 recording or 74 recording of What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life? Terrific, beautiful, lush orchestration by Gordon Jenkins. So, you know, and of course, when you talk about Sinatra and his life and especially his artistry, you could divvy it up into maybe four segments. The RCA period with Tommy Dorsey, and then the Columbia period from 43 to 52, Capitol years 53 to 62, and then, of course, Reprise, which was the record company Sinatra founded.
Right, right.
And that was a good 20-year period or so.
And, Bill, what's your favorite era?
Well, speaking of Reprise, that's when he became literally was the chairman of that board. It was 1960 when he founded this company and Warner Brothers, and it was a time when his powers were, you know, they were reaching sort of godlike proportion. We already knew he was a genius. Although that information was slow to, really be absorbed by the entire public, because a lot of men for the longest time didn't appreciate Frank and his effect on women. They all loved him, you know, and he was, the Bobby Soxers back when he was starting out and then during the Dorsey years. But he really became sort of a guy's guy during Capitol and sort of a God's God during, Reprise. There's just an authority in his voice that's unmatchable at that point. He sang My Way there for a reason.
Yeah.
He hated My Way. You know?
We're going to take a break here. You know, when I think about Reprise, I think of Dino, Desi, and Billy. I've got that vinyl back at home. that was a vanity project.
Hey, they did all right on there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. They did. We're going to be back with some live music after this on WGN.
Don't save your kisses, pass them around. You'll find my reasons are logically sound. Who's going to know if you pass them around 100 years?
years from today. And why crave a penthouse fit for a queen? You're near heaven on Mama's dream. If you had millions, what would they all mean? 100 years from today. So laugh and sing, make love the thing, be happy while you may. For there's always one beneath the sun who's bound to make you feel that way. The moon is shining, that's a good sign. Cling to me closer, say you'll be mine. Who's gonna know if we haven't the time? 100 years from today. 100 years from today. Well, there's always one beneath the sun who's bound to make you feel that way. The moon is shining, and that's a good sign. Cling to me closer, say you'll be mine. Who's gonna know if we haven't the time? 100 years from today. 100 years from today.
That's what I'm talking about. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, Jack DeMilko and Dave Holloway on piano. And tell us about that song, Jack.
Well, I've always liked the song. It's from the album L.A. Is My Lady. And, you know, I feel sorry for the younger generations. I mean, who are they going to have that when they're our age that they can really remember and relate to?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and that's why I like
Adele. That's what I have.
Well, let's hope so. Yeah, she's one of the few who's got a really good voice.
Yeah. Jack, I brought my notes. I met you in 1991.
No, 1986.
1986. Okay, even longer than that.
Yeah.
But I remember I did this story where you were playing a gig for funeral directors.
Yes, you're right. The South Side.
Down on the South Side and stuff, and you did. I pointed out you did Summer Wind, you did Witchcraft, but you didn't do That's Life. That was a good call.
Yeah, you're right.
So you guys, tell us what you got coming up for the anniversary, your gigs.
I'm going to be at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. Onesti Entertainment is putting on an extravaganza where there'll be about 6 or 7 of us singers with the live orchestra, and we'll be doing a tribute to Frank.
It's a week from tonight.
Yes, it is. It's on the 12th. It's the Arcata in St. Charles. Some of the other fellows who'll be in it will be Nick Ponderelli, Tony Ocean, Nick Russo.
Nick Russo's been on our show.
Yes. Nick and I were high school buddies. That's how far we go back. Jack Muccio will be there. It'll be a great tribute. From his early music, we've got the young fellow Dakota Horvath in going on to the end. You know, you mentioned a favorite song. I do have a favorite song. And everybody thought my favorite song was My Way. It wasn't. My favorite song was written by Joe Raposo. It's called You Will Be My Music.
Okay.
You know, and to me, it's like a statement. Hey, you can throw anything you want out there, but my kind of music is the music I'll listen to.
Peter, don't go away. Bill, you still there, Bill?
I'm swinging.
I'm picturing you in a velvet robe, you know, drinking some cognac or something. Jack Daniels, I guess.
That's right. You can't cognac. That wouldn't work.
Yeah, right. That wouldn't work.
No. I'm dressed in a tuxedo. Let's be honest. Frank here. Come on.
Peter, what do you got coming up?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting that all of the Sinatra stylists that Jack knows and is working with, I know all these guys, too, and I've worked with them through the years. And, I've known Jack for at least 20 years. Remember our days at the Pack Is Back, Second City, above in Piper's Alley there? And, that was 1995. And As far as engagements coming up, you know, for the last several years, I've actually been performing, touring a special tribute show around the country called Fabulous Frank. And so I'll be doing that at the Homewood Historical Society this coming Wednesday, if I get my voice back. I'll do it one way or the other, folks. And then, of course, New Year's Eve, I'll be at the Willowbrook Ballroom with a 12-piece orchestra backing me up, and that'll be a lot of fun. And then, of course, in 2016, got a series of special tributes that I'll be doing in addition to the Sinatra tribute, Dean Martin tribute, a tribute to Oscar-winning songs, a tribute to the great songwriters through the years, and all of those will be at historic White Fence Farm down in Romeoville. And to get more information about that, you call 708-226-9920.
Very well. Very good there. Well prepared. You're a well-prepared guest. Jack, you're the best-dressed guest we've ever had on Nocturnal Journal, wearing
Thank
the tuxedo
you.
And stuff. What do you, Bill, I told you I wanted to ask, this is kind of a left-field question, but all three of you guys, what did you think of the Dylan album this year where he covered Frank Sinatra? And there was a quote Dylan said, you know, this is Dylan. He goes, right from the beginning, he was there with the truth of things in his voice. Bill, what did you think of the Dylan record?
He did a great job. It's a very moody album. I mean, it's his version of Wee Small Hours, frankly, and it's lovely. It's just, you know who, I'll tell you, this shows you the level of endorsement it comes from. It was Nancy Sinatra sent that to me. So
really?
She was a very big fan of it. So there you go.
Yeah. Real quick, you guys are going to break for the news, but what did you think of it?
You know, it's very interesting. I mean, Dylan, I saw the interviews with him, and he said, well, I'm not trying to be Sinatra. I'm not trying to impersonate him, but I enjoyed the music, and I always wanted to do an album like that. I will tell you this, as a voting member for the Grammys, you could not believe how many Sinatra tribute albums were on the ballot this year contending for a Grammy Award consideration. I mean, there were at least two dozen, so... it's very interesting. I just got my invitation to attend the Grammys in the mail, as a matter of fact. But
hey,
yeah.
Bill, can you hang with us a little bit longer, Bill? Okay, all right. We're going to take a break here for the news, and we'll be back with more Sinatra Talk on WGN.
Fly me to the moon, let me swing among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, in other words. Love.
you go. Jack D'Amico and Dave Holloway doing Fly Me to the Moon here on WGN. Bill Zamy, there's so much smoke in this. Everybody's smoking in the studio right now. It's really crazy. It's crazy in here. Bill?
Thanks, birthday, they should lift the bands, you know. It would be only right.
I wanted to ask you guys about – I'm going to read this from Bill's book, Frank Sinatra and the Lost Art of Living, The Way You Wear Your Hat, 1997. Just a couple lines here, Bill, I'm going to read. Parlance was his muscle and signature. He spoke in a language of his own devising, a shorthand cool that bristled and baffled and was readily contagious. The style like this still exists today. And, Bill, I know you were working on a thing on Carson. Carson kind of is the same thing, and even maybe to a certain extent, latter-day Letterman. But what about this cool and the style that these guys have?
Well, you mean the guys of that era?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, we devalued everything elegant in our culture. Although it'll be interesting tomorrow night. You're going to see what happened in Vegas a few nights ago. There's a centennial concert the Grammys are put together, and it's a big special with everyone from Lady Gaga to Zac Brown and Christine McVie and name the go, Tony Bennett. They let him come, but you know, but it's really skewed towards today's musical marketplace. And
he did that with the Duets albums, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. This is even more simply because he's no longer with us, and a couple of generations have cropped up in the meantime. So the distance between now and then is so much more dramatic, and these kids. I don't know how many of them, were born while he was still, making, sense of the world. But it's going to be, we'll see what kind of numbers it gets tomorrow night on CBS.
On CBS. What about you guys? Do you think that's a fading quality?
They all want to be Frank, by the way. That's the one thing I've heard for sure. If only they can be one person, they want to be Frank.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, I don't think it's a fading quality, but it ebbs and flows.
Uh-huh.
You know, certainly it was rejuvenated. That whole style and that whole feel and genre was rejuvenated by the swing craze of the 1990s. And that was when I started to sing in the late 90s. And, of course, cigars were in vogue and you had the smoke-filled rooms and all of that. But it is a different era. I notice, and you may have noticed this too, Jack, you can comment on this as well, but as a performer, it's not like in the old days where Sinatra and Dean and the Rat Pack and all of their contemporaries would perform, four or five or six shows in a night, starting at 8 p.m. and then going all the way to 4 a.m., people are going to sleep earlier, these newer generations. I mean, the latest gig that I have, or the latest going gig that I have, is at the Coke Door at the Drake Hotel, and that ends at 1 in the morning.
I know that White Fence Farm crowd doesn't still play. No, I've been to one of their 11 a.m. shows.
That's a midday show. Yeah, because all those folks attending that are going to sleep probably around 5 or 6.
I've been to one of those for assignment.
But those are a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a very historic place over there. But most of my engagements, even the corporate engagements and private engagements that I do, a lot of them, you're done at 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it's a different time when you look at you were talking about earlier, Dave, kidding that there was smoke in the room, and, people can't smoke anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
And they're worried about getting DUIs.
Yeah.
And, and unfortunately, I think through our careers, we've gone from where people used to come to be entertained to where now we're just an access for their night out. They, a lot of times I remember, singing and people would, the room would be silent and, they just want to hear you sing that song. Okay. Yeah. And now it's like sometimes you have to sing over the people talking to each other.
Well, sometimes, I categorize engagements two ways. You're either it's an ambiance engagement where you're just background dinner music,
mm-hmm.
or you're putting on a show. And, every engagement you have to sort of gauge
sure.
the atmosphere of the room, and that determines what sort of material you're going to perform, you know. And I know people who, performers who do not like ambiance type of gigs mm-hmm. because they feel every engagement should be, you know, everybody should be paying rapt attention to them like they're doing a Carnegie Hall concert. And you need to be understand that every venue is different and has different requirements and different crowds that attend those venues. And your ability to adapt to those situations, I think, is one of the reasons that I've been so successful with what I do. I mean, 15 years of 300 engagements a year, self-booked without an agent, yeah, right. you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a demand for this music, and even though people are going to sleep earlier, I just had a couple that came to see us yesterday at the Coke Door at the Drake Hotel. They hired me to do their wedding May 15th. They can't be more than 30. Mm-hmm. And they love this music.
Yes.
They want to have a DJ, but they made it very clear to me it was very important to them to have the classiness of live traditional pop standard music.
Right.
And so it's alive and well, and you know, not only among the younger set, but also, you know, among the 50 plus crowd, which is not served as readily by the music industry.
But let me tell you a story, Jack. We were both talking about our moms. We both lost yes. our mom. I told this story at my mom's funeral in April. And one of the, I took her to see at the Sun-Times. They had me shadow Sinatra. It was the last time I saw Sinatra. It was a Paramount Arts Center and stuff. Mm. And we just kind of followed him around. And, you know, we went to the concert. Then we went over to the steakhouse. I forgot the name of the steakhouse there. And we were instructed not to talk to Frank, not to talk to Frank. But we're sitting there, and Frank was sitting at the next table. I was taking notes on what he was eating and stuff. And he got up and left, and he walked by my mom, and he winked at my mom and smiled and stuff. And my mom, you know, my mom, a modest woman from downstate Illinois, coal miner's daughter and stuff. And, cool? you know, she never stayed out late, and she was in her early 80s, and I couldn't get her home. Then we went to that bar. Frank Derone was playing in that little
sure,
bar there.
Yes.
And we went and saw him, and then Sinatra came and sat down and listened to Derone and stuff. But we got home about 2:30 in the morning. My dad was ready to call the cops. But he had this style. He had this way the way he walked, the way he – it just really knock my socks off my mom. What was your story with your mom?
Well, my grandfather was the head tailor for Baskin's downtown here, and he came home. I don't know if it was 1940 or 41. He came home and he said to my grandmother, "We have any plans for New Year's Eve?" And my grandmother said, "No, we don't have any." He says, "Well, tell the kids they're going to get dressed up." And my grandmother said, "Why?" And he said, "Some guy came into work and he gave me tickets to hear this new young guy Sinatra at the Chicago Theater." And she saw Frank Sinatra early in his career just as an accident, actually.
Yeah. You know. And Bill, I mean, as I just told that story that happened to me at the Paramount, I remember there might have been like one handler with them. I mean, even today, I mean, there'd be like a whole bunch of bodyguards and just, you know, you'd be swarmed. They'd be rushing through the restaurant and stuff. The climate's really changed since he passed away.
Yeah. And then, you know, what's funny is from what I understand, he always felt sorry for Elvis, who would not go out in public, who would not go unless he had a coterie of his guys around him. Not that Frank didn't have guys around him. Believe me, there were guys around
him. Yeah, right.
But it was a totally unshowy thing. And Sinatra just would not give up on being a human being. He was going to go out and go to all the places and hit the spots and drink into the night as he would. And yeah, if you got home at 2:30, you know, he probably had another 5 hours left in him that night.
Yeah, right. I kind of want to get back to that. Did you see any similarities between him and Carson, the stuff you've been doing on Carson?
Yes, of course. I mean, they both were tremendously, feared, in show business. Revered and feared. It's almost a word that's interchangeable, kind of. And what I find is very interesting is, people love to tell me. Now, keep in mind, I wrote this book about Frank when he was still alive, and it came out, in paperback like a year and a half after he left. But what's interesting is back then, well, I can't exactly remember where I'm headed with this, but, you know, because Frank, I've got a billion things to tell you. Hey, you know, 100 years from ago from today plus a week is Frank's 100th birthday. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah. Peter, I saw you this summer at a I know you. I've known you like I've known Jack. I saw you at a Kane County Cougars baseball game.
That's right. A lot of fun out
but
there.
But the one thing I didn't know about you, you have the world's largest collection of Frank Sinatra albums?
Well, it's considered to be the world's one of the top five collections of Sinatra recordings in the world.
And how many?
Look at this guy.
What's the number of that?
You know what? I'll be quite honest with you. I've been so busy with performing that I haven't done an inventory of the collection for about a good 10 years now. So, but at that time, I mean, it was well over 10,000. And we're talking, you know, radio commercials, radio programs and broadcasts. I mean, of course, studio recordings and, of course, special recordings, some of which have been featured on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Special recordings that were maybe a one-time use, never to be heard again, like that Ford commercial from 1959, heard for a 30-day window in the fall of 1959, never heard again. Sinatra family doesn't have it. I actually made a recording of it for them. And also, Rosemary Clooney's family didn't have that duet. And it's a great duet. And I actually had an opportunity and presented a copy of that to them when I did a concert in Rosemary Clooney's hometown of Maysville, Kentucky a few years ago.
Okay. We're going to take a break here for some spots. We're going to come back with one more song. I know you've got a little bit of you've been working so hard. But you're going to do a duet with us.
I'm going to grunt and growl my way through this one, Dave.
Okay. All right. We'll be back. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal.
Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of people, too. People who smile at you. And each time I roam, Chicago is, it's calling me home. Chicago is why I just grin like a clown. It's my kind of town. Take it, Jack.
My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of people who, they all smile at you and each time I leave, Chicago is, it's tugging my sleeve. Chicago is,
the Wrigley Building. Chicago is,
the Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago is,
one town that won't let you down is my kind.
There you go. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. That was Peter Oprisco, Jack D'Amico with Dave Holloway on piano. How about that, Bill Zamy?
They're geniuses.
Okay. So I want to go around the room. You guys want to one more time plug what's coming up? Jack, you had a charity event and give us your website.
Sure. My website is jackdamico.com. And the charity event I'll be doing on this 20th of December at the Green Dolphin, there'll be 30-plus of us musicians, entertainers.
The Green Dolphin, now where's that at?
That's at 2200 North Ashland. And $10 admission. We ask that you bring a toy, unwrapped preferably. It's the 18th annual Jingle Bell Jam, hosted by Melissa Brown. And all the toys this year are going to go to the Mount Sinai Children's Hospital.
Okay. Peter, website?
Website is peteroprisco.com. That's P-E-T-E-R-O-P-R-I-S-K-O. And you can hear sound samples and see the entire schedule coming up. Of course, New Year's Eve, December 31st, with the 12-piece orchestra backing me up at the Willowbrook Ballroom. Call 708-839-1000. For more information, that's down in Willow Springs on Archer Avenue. And then, of course, White Fence Farm special luncheon shows, and that's in 2016 out in Romeoville, 708-226-9920 for more info and reservations.
That's a road trip. trip for us, that White Fence Farm. They're on old Route 66.
It's worth it for the chicken.
Home, yeah, you're home by
tour. That's right.
And, Bill, what do you got coming up?
What do I have coming up? A doctor's appointment and a dentist next week. I've got a busy week for me. No, I think I'll be, busy with Sinatra Mania all week, don't you think?
Yeah. Do you keep in touch with the family?
I do. And they're all flying high from this event the other night. So I guess we'll see them all tomorrow. For anybody who wants to see what everybody looks like, you'll see it tomorrow night. Actually, they have some rare footage of Frank tomorrow night, too.
They will.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've worked with them a lot. I mean, there's a trust relationship there, right?
There definitely is. I think. Well, when I wrote this book, the idea was to really ask how, I was trying to explain Frank to a different generation.
Right.
I was at Rolling Stone at the time, and I ended up doing the piece for Esquire. But it was really about how Frank did things as a man, because he represented such confidence and swagger in every area. So he waxed, poetic and philosophical for me on women and God knows on drinking. It's okay. It is a drinker's Bible, this book.
I'm working on a project now, and we're talking about like how humor is – I mean, everything today, it's 2015, and the prism is just – some of the stuff Frank would have done is not politically correct today. You know what I mean?
No, not at all, and that's our loss. Again, most comedians won't play college campuses anymore because they're too politically correct, but that's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, thank you. Thank you all for coming down. Again, Jack D'Amico, Peter O'Prisco. Thanks, Dave. Dave Holloway. You've been here before, right, at WGN?
Yes.
And thank you, Bill Zamy. And thanks to everybody who hung with me for the first year. Thanks, Dan Long, for not yelling at me too much.
Happy anniversary, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks to Aubrey. And
you got 99 more years to
go. We'll see. Then we'll all be back for the 100th. So Amy Guth is next. So thanks for listening on WGN.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a car, the swingin'est car I know. It was a new Pontiac with a dual wide track. What a kick to drive, it's like ballin' a jack. Peter Epstein Pontiac, he sold the car to Mac. No one beats a deal by Pete, E-I-E-I-O, 'cause an Epstein deal is really rate. Pete can save you dough. You'll be flying high 'cause you get a better buy. Get a lot, save a lot, make a deal that's really hot. Peter Epstein is my boy, E-I-E-I-O. This Peter Epstein knocks me out, E-I-E-I-O. Go see Pete and you'll find out how much less you pay for a new Pontiac with a cool wide track. Buy from Peter once and you'll always come back. Take my word, it's the best you've heard. You'll never, never beat the deal you get from Pete. Peter Epstein Pontiac on Lincoln Avenue.